our radio program with Philip Van Winkle.
What does that say about us? It's a good example for us, is it not? That you and I can, no matter how busy we are, no matter how, quotes, big we think we are in the brotherhood, there are times when our brethren need to be encouraged. And we need to be people who are not afraid to lend an encouraging word.
Is there still power in personal letters and correspondence? Have you ever received a letter that touched your heart? Can we learn something from the example given to us by the apostles who wrote letters to others of their time? What possible teaching might we achieve if we were to take time to write to those, whether saved or unsaved, and let them know what they need to hear from the truth of God's Word?
Thank you for joining us in our study of the book of 3 John. We've gone through 1 and 2 John together, and we come to 3 John, and it's a very good reminder, this book is, that dynamite does sometimes come in small packages. In 3 John, we will see some very important subjects to the Christian walk. That is, that we will be walking in truth and in sincerity. We will walk generously. We will have hospitality, and we will love the brethren. 3 John chapter 1, well, there's only one chapter, but verses 1 through 8, John commends the good attitude of and actions of a man named Gaius in receiving faithful gospel preachers. And he commended Gaius for his efforts for furthering the cause of Christ and encouraged him to continue in doing that. And so, as we begin our study in verse 1, John starts by saying, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." The elder unto Gaius, the beloved. If you remember how 2 John started, the very first verse of it, it says, "The elder unto the elect lady and to her children, whom I love in the truth." And so he begins this letter in almost the exact same way. The word elder here is not like we would normally think of it. It's not like that part of the eldership of a local congregation. Actually, John, just like in 2 John, is really referring to himself as an older man. He simply meant that he was an aged man who was writing from a position of respect that they held in the church. Especially for someone like John who had walked with Christ. And so just like in 2 John, 3 John is addressed to an individual Christian. The epistle is addressed to a man named Gaius, Gaius the Beloved. Timothy, you will recall, was written by Paul, but it was addressed to Timothy. Titus was addressed to Titus. And what we call 3 John is really a letter to a man named Gaius. In the New Testament times, of course, the name Gaius was one of the most common names of that time period. It was a common designation among all of Rome, really. It would be something like, at least here in America, we might think of someone called John Smith as being a very common name. Well, Gaius was a very common name. In fact, there are at least three other men in the New Testament who are mentioned. There's Gaius of Macedonia in Acts chapter 19, and then Gaius of Derbe in Acts chapter 20, and then Gaius of Corinth in Romans chapter 16. Now, we don't know for sure if this is one of those men or if this is another man named Gaius altogether. Now, we can really only speculate concerning this man Gaius' position in the church, but one thing is for sure, and that is that Gaius was very highly respected by the brethren. We can also see from this book as we study along here that he was dear to John himself. He calls him beloved at least two or three times in this one little short book here in verse 1 and 2 and in verse 5 and in verse 11. And so John himself had a great love for Gaius, but it was according to the truth. Now, it does say according to the truth, whom I love in the truth. While this obviously means that John's love for Gaius was true and that his love for him was sincere. It also says something about the truth. That body of truth which lies at the heart of Christian faith, it is the very sphere in which their love, their mutual love, exists together. And so John was walking according to the truth, and Gaius was walking according to the truth, and they loved each other according to the truth. I have a couple of very good friends in my life. One of them is our director here at Truth for the World. I have another friend named Nathan France, and I think I may have mentioned him once before on one of these programs. But he and I were having a conversation one time, and I told him, and of course he agreed, that our friendship really is based on the faith. Our friendship is based on the truth. And so I said, you know, Nathan, I love you, but if you ever leave the truth, if you ever leave the faith, our friendship will be altered drastically. And of course, he agreed and said the same for me as well. Well, what are we saying? Both John and Gaius were walking in the truth of God's word, and so they could have this mutual love and respect for one another. What does it mean, it says, to love in the truth? What does it mean to walk according to the truth? You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17. He said, "Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth." And so when we talk about walking in the truth, what do we mean by that? Does that mean just go around telling the truth all the time? Well, yes, that's part of it. We need to be truthful individuals. We need to be people who will tell people the truth. But there's more to it than just that. We need to walk according to the truth, meaning whatever the truth is, we need to live in that truth. If God tells us to love one another as brethren, then that's what we do. If God tells us to help each other out financially, or if we see a brother struggling in some situation, then we are to help that brother out. That's what we mean by walking in the truth. So here's an apostle of Jesus. Now think of his position. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is what we would call, or what we might consider, he is the Michael Jordan of his day. He is probably at this point the only apostle that may still be living. He is an old man now. He had seen Jesus. He had walked with Jesus. He was one of his hand-selected apostles. And here he is taking time out of his busy schedule to write a simple letter to one simple little man. We don't know if he was a little man, but as far as his status is concerned, he's writing a letter to encourage a friend and a brother. What does that say about us? It's a good example for us, is it not? That you and I can, no matter how busy we are, no matter how, quotes, big we think we are in the brotherhood, there are times when our brethren need to be encouraged. And we need to be people who are not afraid to lend an encouraging word. I one time heard a preacher say this, and I believe it to be the case. He said, you know, many people will not read their Bibles. They're not really going to be interested in going and reading tracts or pamphlets that they may receive in the mail. They may not even pick up a tract from the tract rack outside of church. But, he said, I don't know anyone who would throw away a personal letter without first reading it. That gives us a special opportunity as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. That gives us a special opportunity. It's one thing, and I know we live in a technological world where we have email, and it's very easy for us to just type in something on our email and send it away, and that's fine and that's good. We should do that. But there are times when we really should just sit down with our pen and ink and we should just write a letter. Go buy a card down at the local store and write a letter to encourage a brother, to tell them that you appreciate what they are doing. So verse 1 again, he says, "The elder to the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." 3 John verse 2 really is going to begin John's prayer for this man Gaius. It was the prayer of John that Gaius would be able to prosper financially and enjoy good health, just as he had been prospering spiritually. Now, I want us to understand that. I want us to see that. He says, "I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as, just like, your soul has prospered." We see that it then is not wrong for us to pray for health and for the financial well-being of our good and faithful brethren. In praying for Gaius to be prosperous, John wanted him to have a good journey in this life as he lived here on earth. You know, it's true that we live here on earth and that we are not to be bound to this life, that we are not to be so taken in by the things of this life that we lay down roots here. And yet there is the idea here, at least, that while we are here, there are things that we can do and should do. And John is praying for this man to be able to prosper financially and to be in good health. But I want you to see what is very important, because here's the very important part of the phrase. Look at the words, "even as," "that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." John prayed for Gaius to prosper even as he had been prospering in the spiritual realm. John was hoping that as Gaius would continue to grow in the faith, that he would also be able to pay his bills, to even possibly make some money for himself too. Why is that important? If someone says, "Well, Philip is preaching a gospel of money. He says it's important to have money." That's not what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. As long as someone enjoys soul prosperity, that is, as long as he is doing what is right in his Christian walk, if he is seeking God first, then his money, his riches, will bless and benefit not only himself, but who? Everyone else. It will bless the church. It will bless the people who are able to come and visit him. He could send his money to help a missionary. And so John is saying, we hope that this man will have prosperity and that he will be in good health. Now, we'll say a word of caution. When wealth gets in the way of a person's spiritual life, then you and I need to be willing to give it up. As we said before, this life is temporary, and it is not to be taken in the same weight as the spiritual life that is to come.